Good morning and welcome to Neocony View. I'm Peter Newman and we are going to be talking trash this morning. Well, trash and recycling. Two guests with us. Karen Reddick-Yurka is the chair of Cardam, and we've talked about Cardam several times on this program, and David McCall, who is the Tillamook County Solid Waste Program Manager. Welcome to you both, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Well, Cardam has been around for 17 years or so, and well, Karen, why don't we just start with maybe a brief history of Cardam for the two people in our audience who don't know what Cardam is, or maybe people visiting, because, and I say visiting because whenever people, friends of mine, visit from outside the area, I send them to Cardam as a tourist destination. So well, you can explain why I would do such a foolish thing.
I would be happy to. Cardam is the world-class recycling facility that's located in the Nehalem Bay area, right between Manzanita and Nehalem. We have a county solid waste transfer station, so people can bring their trash. And we have staff available to help divert things out of those loads of trash into recycling and into reuse. So we have a fantastic recycle line. We have over 40 different items that we take for recycling. And we've got a big new store that we just completed, or actually we are this week completing some renovations in, that is full of stuff that's been diverted out of the trash and into reuse. Fantastic things.
And David, when we've talked about Cardam in the past, the broader picture of what happens in Tillamook County just for some reason has never come up. But here you are with us this morning about the relationship with Cardam, and talk about how that all developed.
Well, you know, the first time I ever came into contact with Cardam was a little over 2 years ago when I came here for a face-to-face interview. And Tillamook County's Public Works Director, Leanne Welch, took me on a tour of the different county facilities and brought me up to see Cardam. And that is one of the things that convinced me that this is the place I want to move to, and I want to relocate myself and my family to be in this incredible little community and see things happen like Cardam has been doing. Cardam, I think a lot of people who live around here don't realize how unique it is. I've been in the solid waste business for over two decades, and Cardam is only one of two similar operations I have come across. And the other one is on the other side of the United States in Martha's Vineyard, on Little Island, where they got up and set up a similar operation. But because they were trapped on that island with their waste, and that's a solution. So one of two places in North America is an incredible little bit of uniqueness here. But people ask me a lot of times, why can't we set up another Cardam in Tillamook? Why can't we set up a Cardam in Pacific City? Well, there's no reason we can't. But it's very much due to that dedicated group of volunteers and the vision that put it together 15, 17, 12, 10 years ago, and have not stopped working on that vision for a single day during that time. What we have today is an end product, which is not a finished product. It's one step along this route that's been developing for, as Karen said, 17 years now. And it's part of my job to try to ensure that all citizens living in Tillamook County have the same opportunities to recycle. Well, it's really difficult when you've got such a great little experiment up here called Cardam to compare everything else with. We can't have exactly the same thing everywhere. Well, we can try to emulate that, and that's one of the things that we're trying to do is increase those services to make it more Cardam-like and more acceptable all over.
Well, Karen, what is the partnership like? How does it develop, and where does it stand today?
Well, I have to tell you, it has been a very good relationship for many years between Cardam and the county. We are the franchisee of one of the county's transfer stations, as David mentioned, that we're one of three in Tillamook County. And we have, you know, we're a little bit isolated way up here in the far northern forests of the county. And we've been left alone to a large extent to kind of develop our operation however we saw fit. And the county has been really good at letting us do that, recognizing the good that we're doing, and also helping us wherever we start to falter and the count, the relationship has really strengthened in the last year, or probably year and a half. I think having David on board as the program manager and his understanding of how the materials move, materials management system should work, has really helped us understand our business better and help solidify our relationship with the county's overall trash and materials management system. It's been great.
Well, how does that all work? Because if you're really naive, you'd look at trash as simply an expense. Somebody's got to pick it up, haul it away, and deal with it. And recycling seems to be, okay, well, that, you know, they can, we can take all this material and reuse it, and there's money to be made in it. And I know it's just not that simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you say, Peter, that's, that was very true, especially about 30, 35 years ago, when recycling was in its infancy. And the recycled materials or recyclable materials were seen as a cheaper form of raw materials. What has happened in the meantime is that industry has become more and more accustomed to taking in those materials. Those materials have gone onto the global markets, and they've become a commodity. They're no longer specialized recyclable materials anymore that can really make a big difference in many companies' bottom line, but they are accepted as raw materials. And as more and more communities begin recycling, more and more materials come on the market, which actually, by the laws of supply and demand, push those prices down, which actually hurts the recycling markets in many ways, because that same paper or metal is actually worth less and less. So to compensate for that, you try to get even more and more. So the whole economics behind recycling is something that the better job you do, the more you recycle, to a certain extent, you are hurting your own markets, because there's more and more material coming on the market, especially in an economy and a society like we're living in, where so much manufacturing is done overseas, not locally. It's really difficult, because you're right, recycling should be a real good business venture. The fact of it is, after a certain period of time, it almost works against itself economically. But that's when we go out there and try to increase our percentages from 20% to 30% to 40%. Or we can emulate a lot of places in Oregon now that are well over 50% in their diversion rates. Right now in Tillamook County, we're only at 32%, 33%, maybe 34%. So we've got some growing room out there.
Of course, that number would be a success story a decade or two ago, right?
It's
sort of like the more successful you get, the more successful you need to get.
Yeah, but let's not, you know, confuse ourselves. It's still a success story even today. You know, 20, 30 years ago, 30% that Tillamook County was recycling, that was a great success story. It's nothing to laugh at today. New York City would die to get even close to 30%. I think they'd die to get close to half of that these days. But 30% is very good. Well, we look at Cardam, for every ton of garbage that comes in, there are 2 tons of recyclable materials coming in and going out of there. So actually, you look at those percentages, it's more like a 65, 66% year on year. That's very good. That's great. You know, something that everybody should emulate. But once you've hit 66%, then it's try to go for 68, for 70, and we're not going to stop until we're as close to that 100 as possible.
So how does it work at Cardam? I bring something in. Let's say I don't know whether it's waste or whether it's recyclable. I mean, some things are obvious, but some things are not. Like, I would say, if I were being naive, I would say a used piece of electronics, even though it doesn't, let's say it doesn't work, would be recyclable because it's got precious metals in it and so on. But is that the case? Can something be done with an old radio or computer or something like that?
Absolutely. The component parts of those are worth something on their, you know, once they're taken apart. And we're really lucky to live in Oregon. We've got a great statewide e-waste program that's funded by the manufacturers of those components that sell things in Oregon that allows us to collect those dead pieces of electronic equipment and keyboards and mice and cables and microphones and everything else. And they are all recycled here in the States. They're not shipped overseas from here. So, and there's a lot of value in the copper and the precious metals that are inside those materials. We're thrilled to take them.
You know, actually, is it It's the first time I've ever heard anybody say mice for computer mouse. You know, is it really mice? Because I heard people tell me it's mouses.
Mouses. I do.
You're the expert.
I'm an English major. I would never say mouses. Unless I'm talking about a verb.
Karen Reddick, you're an English major and board chair of Cardam and Tillamook County Solid Waste Manager. David McCall, our guest this morning on Neocony View. You're also in the bookkeeping business, in the money business. So that has got to be pretty critical to how Cardam works, because if it doesn't add up, if you make mistakes, then you lose a treasure.
It's absolutely true. And Cardam is a pretty complex place because we have what we call three enterprises. And there are different revenue streams and different expenses related to each one. So we have the trash collection and the costs associated with getting rid of trash. Then there's quite a few expenses related to recycling. We have to ship things far away, and we have to bundle them together in order to get them to market. And then we have our reuse store, and there are always staff costs and overhead costs and everything related to that. So it's a little bit more complicated than the average small business, I guess. And you're absolutely right. It's critical for any nonprofit organization, but any organization really, to understand where your money's coming from and where the money is going when it goes out the door. And if you don't pay attention to those things, it's an easy way to go out of business. And we would not be able to get anywhere close to our mission, which is leading our community to zero waste, if we went out of business. So we do pay very close attention to the numbers.
A lot of the stuff that comes into our area, and for that matter, the stuff that we disappear, comes from people building things, houses, add-ons, construction, that sort of thing. How do both of your organizations handle that? I mean, it seems to me there's some opportunity, especially if you've got, you know, some old material around the house. Old, classic wood is very much attractive to people. Fixtures and that sort of thing. Is there anything that's being done in that area that we should know about?
I'm absolutely happy to tell you about something new. In 2012, we did a community dumpster audit, and 78% by weight of the material that was thrown away was construction and demolition debris. And that is old fixtures, it's metal flashing, it's roofing materials, it's painted and treated wood, and it's a tremendous expense to send that all to the landfill because it's heavy. And so in partnership with the county, we have created a brand new construction and demolition debris diversion program that will start July 1st. We're really excited about it. But we've made a fast lane for contractors to be able to dump off the debris, and if they separate it by materials, there's a incentive for them to do that. There's it will cost them less money to throw stuff away. And David, I want you to talk about what we're going to be doing with the asphalt roofing shingles, because it's the coolest thing ever.
Well, last year we started something here in the county which we hadn't done before. And that way, but Cardam had done it to a certain extent, but we introduced it at our other transfer stations as well. That was simply taking in yard debris as a separate material, not mixing it in with the trash, but sending it off to composting. And I remember when we started that, several people said, that's a waste of time. There's not more than 1, maybe 2% of our trash is yard debris. But we said, no, we're going to do it. And we started it. And we had a trial program with the ODF for 2 months. And we've been continuing it ever since then. This year, it's going where we expanded that trial program to 5 months long. That's the yard debris program, so that people at all three transfer stations can drop off yard debris free of charge with an ODF voucher. Based on that same concept, now we're introducing a different type of diversion for specific types of construction and demolition debris. And that's specifically when we look at roofing materials. If you have a roof, 95% of that roofing material is probably asphalt shingles. Up until now, those asphalt shingles, along with the other, just went in with the trash and were sent down to Coffin Butte Landfill next to Corvallis, where they were thrown in this huge landfill, which we helped make into a mountain. And once in that landfill, it's there forever. It's never coming out. Now, the possibility that we've found and developed here is that asphalt shingles, three-tab asphalt shingles, and felt paper, tar paper, and the nails with them, we'll be able to take those in separately from the trash. And we're going to take those down to Lincoln County, where we have a partner there who is actually going to shred them and recycle them in to be included in asphalt, which is being used on local county road projects.
In our own county.
In our own county, as well as in Lincoln County. Starting July 1st, we're taking shingles down there. We're separating shingles separately. We're sending the shingles down there. For logistics reasons, this is primarily going to be used on roads in South Tillamook County. But we're using the shingles from all over. The reason that it's happening there, not at other places, is because it costs a lot of money for a shingle shredder. And the only one in the coast is down in Lincoln County.
It seems, as you say, that's sort of obvious. I mean, yes, roofing is asphalt. What are roads? Asphalt. And you're saying that you can actually recycle that.
Yeah, they mix in 3 to 4% shingles when they make asphalt. And that's a way for them replacing oil. And it's great. A lot of places have been doing this for 8-10 years now. They like it. The roads are a little more flexible, especially when it freezes. And they work out very well. ODOT is also going through their process of allowing asphalt shingles to be mixed in with their asphalt on all state roads.
For both of you, in your various capacities, both talking about recycling and trash, are there any things that you just kind of wish people knew that they don't know, that I can do this, I can't do that, I should do this, I shouldn't do that?
I think the most important thing would be when people would consider, when they buy something, if they would consider that has an end product at the end. When you go into the store and you buy something and that's packaged in 3-4 layers of packaging material, well, if you can buy something that only has one piece of packaging on it, that means there are an extra 2 or 3 you don't have to deal with afterwards. The real goal is not to recycle as much as possible. The real goal is to reduce the amount of waste that we produce, because then we don't have to worry about disposing of it or recycling it. But the things that we do buy, let's make sure they're recyclable.
The packaging I see, especially when you have something shipped to you and it's a small thing and it comes in this big box with all the little popcorn in it and the plastic, it's just shameful. I mean, and to me, unnecessary.
One way to deal with that is probably not very effective, but it would be to write the manufacturer or send the packaging back to the place that it came from and let them know that that's unacceptable. And it's a tough row to hoe, and if everyone did it, then it would have an impact. I know that there are a lot of manufacturers that are doing a much better job of using cardboard instead of the styrofoam peanuts, and they're using those little air packs instead of styrofoam peanuts. It's still a little piece of plastic, unfortunately, but it's lighter in weight and makes more sense.
And it's much more easy to recycle than those peanuts.
True. That's true.
It's not easy, but it's easier.
Can the peanuts, a lot of places don't take styrofoam, correct?
That is correct. Cardam accepts styrofoam peanuts. We'll reuse those. The problem with styrofoam is that it's big and bulky. Even though it doesn't weigh very much, it's big and bulky. And when it goes to the landfill, it takes forever to break down, and it breaks down into really unpleasant stuff. But because it takes up so much space in a dumpster, It's a pain in the tuchus, is what it is. And the only way really to recycle it that I'm aware of is to basically melt it with a whole bunch of other styrofoam, and it's called a densifier. It literally squishes all the air out of it and makes it into bricks. But it's expensive to ship the raw styrofoam a long distance, and then it's expensive to ship the dense material away as well.
Our guest this morning on Neocon View, Karen Reddick-Yurka, who's chair of Cardam, the wonderful recycling and transfer station in North Tillamook County, and David McCall, who is the Tillamook County Solid Waste Manager. Interesting, you're talking about styrofoam. I actually went to Cardam the other day with something which I didn't think I would be able to get rid of. It was a big cooler, styrofoam cooler that some food sent to me. And I thought, well, they're not going to take that. And they actually did, because it still functions as a cooler. And you just put some cold packs or ice things in it, and somebody else can use it for its intended purpose. So even when you don't know something can be reused, it often can. I mean, I guess the lesson is it never hurts to ask.
That's absolutely right. Unless it's really sticky or smelly, chances are pretty good someone will find a use for it. And in fact, living in a community that like we do here in Manzanita, where a lot of the homes are vacation homes, those styrofoam coolers come in very handy to leave behind in a rental house, because the guests who come will have something to take to the beach, and if they lose it, it's no skin off the owner of the home's nose or the vacation rental company's nose. So those kinds of things are very useful, and I'm sure somebody's probably already taken it home with them.
David, you talked about the collaboration with Lincoln County. Are there other collaborations? Can we look kind of to the bigger picture? You also mentioned, you know, a lot of our stuff goes off to Corvallis, so we're not, when we talk about recycling or we're talking about solid waste, we're not just talking about our community, we're talking about other counties, maybe even other states, and ultimately for a lot of this material, other countries.
Oh yeah, the waste market is not a local market anymore. In Oregon, back in the 80s, they made the decisions that no, you have to improve your landfills. You can't have a little dump site and a berm site, you know, at the end of every little town. I mean, that happened earlier in certain places, but basically the 80s is when it took real leaps forward. And there are only a few landfills left in the state of Oregon, which is not a bad thing. At least they're concentrated in certain places, but it's also shipping cost to get there. One of the difficulties, one of the challenges we have here in Tillamook County is that we have very little local opportunities, real local opportunities to treat our materials ourselves. Like I said, our garbage goes 20,000 tons a year of our garbage goes to Coffin Butte Landfill just outside of Corvallis. That's 76 miles one way. And that truck's got to turn around and come back 76 miles. So we're putting close to 160 miles worth of tread and gas on that every time one of those, you know, it's 1,000 trucks a year taking it down there. Unfortunately, our recycling markets aren't much closer either. You know, we're fortunate enough to have a paper mill in Newburgh, which takes a lot of paper, but there are other places where they send their recycling materials hundreds of miles away. Quite a bit of what Cardam has also winds up ending up in Asia, because that's where the real recycling markets are. Sure, it goes through Portland, but the final destination is very often different countries in Asia. We are searching for opportunities to recycle our materials locally as much as we can. That's why we're really happy about this asphalt shingle recycling project, making it into local asphalt so we can use it on local roads as well. Another project we started, and I'm very thankful for our friends down in Lincoln County, who, when I came and started this job, that was one of the first contacts I made. And Mark Salins immediately got in his car and he said, if you call me and reach out to me, I'm going to get in my car and come up and visit you. And we sat down. We've had a very good relationship with each other for the last, you know, year and a half. And one of the things that has worked out of that is a paint recycling trial we did here. Lincoln County, about 10 years ago, bought their own latex paint mixing kit. And it's a mobile kit. It's a set of barrels and a mixer and things that they have in a trailer. And because of various challenges we were having with our paint treatment problem, because as you may know, Tillamook County has the only permanent household hazardous waste collection facility on the Oregon coast. This is the only place you can go almost every month of the year and drop off your hazardous waste. Most places only have it once a year, like Tillamook had a few years ago. But because of that facility, and because we don't have any paint care retail locations around here, what that means is we have lots and lots of paint coming into that facility. And what we did was for 2 months, we collected our own latex paint and stored it up. And that was enough that we were able to borrow this paint recycling kit, the trailer full of stuff from Lincoln County, brought it up here. And for 2 days, we mixed our own latex paint. And as a result of that, we have 462 gallons worth of latex paint on sale at three different locations here in the county, one of which is Cardam, where you can come in 9 different colors, you know, one shade of gray and 8 other colors.
They're beautiful colors, mm-hmm. too.
You can come up and you can get latex paint, which has been set through several screening cycles, so it's just as clean as the stuff you would buy in the store originally. This is locally collected, locally recycled, and it's also very price advantageous, I would say. If I can say a price on here, we're talking 3.5 gallons of paint for $24. Mm. I don't think you can find that in any store, not even as an off tint or mistint.
Karen, before we let you go, let you both go, you have a retiring executive director, the wonderful Jan Hamilton, and never let a fundraising opportunity go unopportune. You've got one coming up in honor of Jan.
We do. Jan Hamilton has been our executive director for 7 years. She was on staff for a couple of years before that, and she has done an incredible job of organizing the site. She's hired and trained the best staff you'll find anywhere on the coast. I don't know, maybe let's make it anywhere in the United States. They are absolutely fabulous, hardworking people. She's put together some incredible systems for how we move materials from one place to another on site. It's clean, it's neat. And she has worked so hard to get us to a place where we're pretty financially stable for the most part, which is that's a tough thing for a nonprofit to say. But I think we really are at a point where we are in really good shape and ready to take on the next challenge. And I can't be more grateful that we have had Jan for the last 7 years. So if anyone has run into Jan in her capacity as executive director at Cardam or saw what Cardam was like, say, 10 years ago and has been there recently, you can credit all of the positive changes to her. And if you would like to show your appreciation, please stop in before the end of June and say hello and goodbye to Jan. But also, if you'd like to send us a little check, we would love that, and we'll use it to honor her going forward.
I think you'll get some takers.
Thank you.
I'd also like to point out that the Solid Waste Association of North America is recognizing 50 unsung heroes this year, and Jan Hamilton is one of those 50. She will be officially recognized at their annual meeting in Texas this August.
Oh, wonderful and well-deserved. Our guest this morning on the Econi View, Karen Reddick-Yurka, is the chair of Cardam in the north part of Tillamook County. For the whole county, the Tillamook County Solid Waste Program Manager is David McCall. And thank you both for joining us this morning on the Econi View. It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you next month, same time, fourth Monday of the month, for the Econi View.